Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We are live in the Allstate studio, 7th floor of the Trim Tower. We're here till 5 a.m. Wood Esmeralda Buy That is coming up a little bit later on. It is Triple Play Thursday, so get your requests in now. And that is One Artist, Three Songs, 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200. That, of course, was live, I Alone. And the reason why we are playing that is, Jim Ryan is joining us. You can read him in the Daily Herald and on his Chicago at Night blog at chicagonow.com. And you can follow him on Twitter at Radio Jim Ryan. Jim does traffic as well, right at this radio station.
This is true.
And also, you write about and talk about music. So we have you in to talk about music and stuff.
It's always fun.
And you go to concerts. Lots of concerts.
I go so you don't have to.
Yeah, exactly. So you are going to have a real busy weekend. It's Lollapalooza weekend.
Yes, it is.
So that's why we wanted to have you in to talk about, you know, the schedule and all kinds of cool stuff. But the reason we played live, you just interviewed.
I did.
The frontman, Ed Kowalczyk, for the frontman for Live.
They are back together.
Yeah.
First time together since 2009.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't realize it had been that long, which is kind of amazing.
Yeah. Yeah, no, when was the last time they, I mean, I wasn't even aware of the last time they, the last album that I bought by Live was the album with Lakini's Juice on it.
That was the third one, I think.
Yeah.
It was the second big one, but I think the third one overall.
That was like 2000? Maybe
it was before that.
Was it before
because
that? Like
that
90?
Followed up Throwing Copper, and Throwing Copper was 94.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Well, that was the last one I bought, was the Lakini's with Lakini's Juice on it. That was
there
the last
go.
One. So it's been that long.
It has been a while.
I used to, when that video was very popular,
mm-hmm.
the one that we just played, I Alone.
Yes.
When people would come into the bar I was bartending at, they said, you look exactly like the lead singer from
Ed
Live.
Kowalczyk?
Yeah,
okay.
And I used to get it all the time.
Really?
Yeah, it was much thinner then.
Did you have the head shaved?
No, I didn't at all. People just said it was the, you know, my face was more, I was clean shaven at the time.
Okay.
And so, you know, but I used to get it, I mean, seriously, and I found it strange.
Right.
And then I watched the video one time and I looked at it and I was like, I can see that.
He's very animated in the videos, by the way.
Yeah.
He's
very animated on stage.
Yes.
So, but you spoke with him and are they playing Lollapalooza?
So they're playing Lollapalooza, two shows this weekend, Friday night at the Park West. That's their after show. And then they'll be on stage Saturday at 6 o'clock on the Tito's Handmade Vodka stage.
So what you talked to them, what was that like?
You know, it was pretty good. They're, you know, I usually talk to a lot of these guys, and they're not overly excited to go out on the festival circuit.
Mm-hmm.
Ed Kowalczyk is very excited to go out on the festival circuit. Yeah, he compared it to the first huge crowd that they ever played to, right as the Throwing Copper album was blowing up in 94, was Woodstock 94. They were part of that.
Mm-hmm.
They did the 99 one as well, which, too, yeah.
Not too good.
Very varying degrees
Scary.
Of success there.
Yeah.
But so he said it's nice to come full circle, and he's excited to be. He said he loves playing in the middle of the day. Usually these guys get upset when they're playing in the sunlight.
Yeah.
He said he's excited to play in the middle of the day and stand off to the side of the stage and watch. The example he gave was Band of Horses, but whoever's on after them, he said they take inspiration from that and they take it back into the studio with them.
Wow!
So he said it's better than a normal tour, were his exact words.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Unusual.
He said they rise to the occasion in front of a big crowd, and you know, if the after show is Park West, comparatively, it'll be a bigger crowd.
It'll be a bigger crowd, absolutely. Boy, the '90s are making some sort of comeback, huh?
Yeah, isn't that interesting?
I mean, it really.
I was kind of going through everything I've kind of done for the last month or two, and it's been nothing but 90s stuff.
Yeah.
It was the Goo Goo Dolls and Third Eye Blind and 311. I was like, it was one after the other.
Right, absolutely.
Playing big venues.
In the, so you talked to Ed Kowalczyk. Did you mention Fight Club at all?
I did not mention Fight Club.
Because for those people who might not, he plays a waiter in Fight Club.
I forgot that he was in Fight Club.
Yeah, yeah. Anyway, so you did talk about one of the gigs they did here at Tinley
Park.
Yeah,
that's
I was at that show.
I was wondering if you were there.
Oh, yeah, I was there because of Buffalo Tom.
Buffalo Tom was on the bill.
Buffalo Tom opened.
Right.
It was Buffalo Tom, Veruca Salt, PJ Harvey.
That's a killer
and
lineup.
And Live. Yeah, it was a great lineup. But I was mostly there for Buffalo Tom because they're like my favorite band.
Right.
And Buffalo Tom went on first, and there were like 15 people in the pavilion at that time. And they were great. And I want to say it was for Sleepy Eyed. sleepy-eyed or smitten? No, sleepy-eyed. Okay. I think they were touring for sleepy-eyed at that time. That was like 94, 95?
95. Yeah, 95. It was 95 because I asked him for a highlight on stage in Chicago, and that was the example he gave because he says they sold more tickets at that show than they had ever sold before.
Yeah, it was packed.
Yeah.
It was packed.
30,000 people.
Yeah.
The amazing part of that was because in the 90s, that Throwing Copper album went 8 times platinum. I mean, they sold
a
lot of records back then, but they were never part of Lollapalooza because they didn't need it. Mm-hmm. They were selling out the same venues. The example I gave in that Daily Herald piece was Live did the show with PJ Harvey and Buffalo Tom and Veruca Salt and sold it out. And it was either a month before or a month after Lollapalooza came through Tinley mm-hmm. with Sonic Youth headlining and didn't sell it out.
Mm.
So Live was bigger at that point than the brand.
Throwing Copper was for people who, it was a huge album. And the videos were everywhere. And, it just was a massive record.
Selling the Drama and Lightning Crashes went to number one. Mm-hmm. But there was like six singles off that album. It was crazy.
It was a fun meeting him and everything?
Yeah, it was. I had him on the phone, but he was great. He's excited about Lollapalooza. So
that's cool. And are you going to see them? Is that one of your...
Yeah, I'm going to check them out Saturday. I haven't seen them in a long time. I think the last time I saw them was at the Riv.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they were touring that album with Lakini's Juice, Secret Samadhi.
Yeah. Oh, that's what it was called, Secret Samadhi. That's right.
With Chibo Matto was the opener for that.
Oh, is that right?
Sean Lennon.
Wow. Yeah. That's right. Oh, my God.
So it was interesting.
So the 90s stuff, let's talk a little bit more about that. So you got Live at the Park West Friday night. They're doing their show, and then they're playing Saturday in the afternoon at Lollapalooza. Let's talk about the Third Eye Blind show.
I almost called you that night.
Did you? So I saw some pictures that you posted on social media. Third Eye Blind again making a comeback.
That place was almost full,
and it was
Northern Rhode Island,
right?
Okay. So I think that's like 12,000 people.
Yeah,
they were doing that first album in its entirety,
mm-hmm.
Which I don't think they. I think he shies away from the hits. So I think for a lot of fans for the casual fans and for the big fans, I think that was a draw because I don't think he does that stuff.
Right.
And he went out of his way to taunt the audience, came out on stage with an untied straitjacket that he wore for the first couple songs, which was fitting.
And now, didn't you say that when they played, he had a dress on time?
At Park West last year, almost a year ago.
Last year, it was Lollapalooza show, right, okay.
And he performed with a dress on.
Okay.
This time he opened the show with a untied straitjacket.
Uh-huh.
And then he was taunting the show. He was taunting the crowd at the end. He was really upset at the people who were on their cell phones trying to take a video. He kept taunting them. He's like, "You think you can capture this in a video?"
Well, I think he's got a point, frankly.
You can't. It takes a lot to capture the essence of Live for the blind, Nick.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm kind of I always find it kind of amazing that people, just are there they hold their phone up and,
I'll go you one better. I was at the Open Air Festival in Bridgeview 3 weeks ago, which was Ozzy and Kiss, and it was a metal festival. And during Rob Zombie's set, somebody in the row behind me was holding up an iPad recording performances, and I was just so glad it was behind me.
Yeah,
I was like, if that was in front of me,
Yeah, but that's a thing now.
It's
just people hold up their phones for like the entire show.
I've almost gotten used to the phone, but the iPad is intrusive.
No, that's
it's right in front of you.
Yeah, no, there's no question about it.
That's
I don't go to a lot of concerts anymore.
I think you'd be
because I'm an old man. But when I went to Pearl Jam, one of the things I noticed was like how many phones were up.
Right.
I mean, everybody had their phones up, and I was like, wow.
It's going to make a great YouTube video.
Yeah. Yeah, because the sound quality would just be fantastic.
Nice and shaky.
And the shaky visuals, outstanding. Well, how was Third Eye Blind?
So it was pretty good.
Yeah.
It was a good show. Do you like that album or no?
Not really.
That's the first one.
Yeah,
okay.
Not really. I like the single, the doot, doot, doot.
The Semi-Charmed Life?
Yeah, okay. I like that because it's an incessantly poppy song.
So they did it, he didn't seem pleased to be doing it. At one point, they did, I think it was after Semi-Charmed Life, I don't remember, I have it on Facebook, but his comment to the crowd, he just shook his head and he goes, "Man, this tour..." Like, he's playing the biggest venues he's played in 20 years,
right.
And he's upset.
And he's upset about it.
Uh-huh.
Did he wear the straitjacket through the whole show?
Not the whole show. It was only the first couple of songs.
Oh, okay.
All right. Yeah.
Okay. All right, so Third Eye Blind, again, the 90s are back.
Yep.
And then Goo Goo Dolls.
Goo Goo Dolls,
also
yes.
played Northerly Island.
Yes, they did.
Guess who I saw those guys with?
Who?
Buffalo Tom.
Really?
Buffalo Tom opened for the Goo Goo Dolls. in 98.
Okay.
And the Buffalo Tom was touring for the album Smitten.
Okay. And, where was that at?
Riv.
Wow.
And we left after the second song, Buffalo, or because of Goo Goo Dolls. Because I'm not a Goo Goo Dolls fan.
Yeah.
The only song I really like by them is Iris.
That's about as big a song as came out of that decade.
And I'm not a fan of the name. That's when we left, when they started playing Name, because Johnny Resnick started talking about, he did this whole monologue about how he started the song, and obviously the riff is recognizable.
Right.
And he starts playing it, and then he's like, you know, man, people are coming down on us. We sold out. Because, Goo Goo Dolls used to be a metal band.
They were a metal band. Yeah.
Very, very punky, metal-y. Yeah. I just remember them being on one of the Freddy Krueger movie soundtracks.
Yeah, they definitely were.
Yes. And so, and then when the Catch the Girl, or what the hell was the name of it?
I don't remember it, but like.
What was it called, Dan? You know what it is?
Dizzy Up the Girl.
Dizzy Up the Girl. Was the name of the album. Yeah.
Right.
And so that when that came out, I was like, what is this? And and so I was not. But anyway, he's doing this, like he's playing the riff of Name. And then like he was going, people are coming down on me, man. Like I sold out, man. And I don't care. I love this song. And then he starts playing it again and going off. And it's like, you know what, man? I was walking through a grocery store and I heard. And I was happy, man. I smiled. And then he was talking for 5 minutes, and finally they start the song, and I look at my friends, because we were there for Buffalo Tom.
Right.
I look at my friends, I'm like, are you ready? And they're like, yeah. Because they came out, I don't know if this is the case now,
sure, please.
Because you were there, when was it, last week?
A couple of weeks ago.
A couple of weeks ago. All right. So when I saw them in 98 at the Riv, they had the entire, so first of all, when Buffalo Tom came out, three-piece, they come out. Janovitz says, hi, we're Buffalo Tom, we're from Boston. And they just rip into it. Boom, they play their set.
Okay.
Very few, words in between. Just like, hi, how you doing? We love Chicago, that kind of stuff.
Sure.
So, but what I'm noticing as they're, smushed up to the front of the stage, because there's all this crap on the stage for Goo Goo Dolls, is that there's a giant sheet of plastic, thick plastic, covering the entire stage.
Okay.
The floor of the stage, covering the entire floor of the stage.
Interesting.
And then when the Goo Goo Dolls come out, the lights are down, lasers, smoke, every cliche you could possibly imagine. And they ran on stage. like the lights started and they ran. So it was like they had the rock cliche book backstage. And they did the checklist of all the things that were rock cliche you would do. They come running out and the bass player was barefoot. Okay, so they come out and then they play, blah, blah, blah. And then so I find out years later, now that I became friends with Bill Janovitz, because they toured with Goo Goo Dolls, obviously.
Yeah.
That the thick plastic had to be applied to every stage in every venue of that tour.
Because
the barefoot bass player liked the feel of it. Like he wanted to be barefoot, and that's why they had to line plastic, thick plastic.
This is the type of thing I love to see in an artist writer.
Yeah.
Thick plastic
covering the stage because I have to be barefoot.
That's
this is what Bill told me, man.
No, I believe
it. And so now was
he
there plastic?
Seems like a strange dude.
Was there plastic on the stage?
I didn't pay attention. I don't think there was.
Was he barefoot?
I would like to think I would have noticed if he was barefoot.
Okay.
Because I was in the fourth row.
Well, this was in 1998.
And
so, maybe 20 years later he's
discovered footwear.
So Goo Goo Dolls, how was the show?
It was a good show. It was I got to be careful here. I was not entirely convinced at all times that the sound I was hearing was coming out of Johnny Resnick's guitar.
Mm-hmm.
There was a lot of running around. There was a lot of running off stage. There was a lot of talking to people as with no hand on the guitar as the song was continuing.
I see.
But maybe.
Okay.
He was definitely playing Name.
Oh, well, sure.
Did he do a five-minute monologue about it? There was not a five-minute monologue, I don't believe.
Grocery stores and stuff?
He didn't go back to the grocery store thing. They did let the bass player sing a couple, though, and that was definitely the
low point.
That was definitely the everyone's getting up to get a beer.
Time to get a beer or take a pee. Okay. But the crowd seemed, they were into
the
it.
The crowd seemed into it. My favorite part of the whole thing, and I have the picture on Twitter, was walking in. Walked right by this guy that was the spitting image of Rowdy Roddy Piper, had the Hot Rod shirt on and everything.
I saw that picture.
And camouflage cargo shorts. And I'm like, this is the ghost of Rowdy Roddy Piper. If the Goo Goo Dolls crowd is crossing over with the Rowdy Roddy Piper crowd, this is going to be a better show than I thought it was going to be.
There you go. Exactly. If Roddy Piper is somehow spiritually there, it makes everything better.
And then, so midway through the opener, a guy named Philip Phillips didn't do a lot for me.
He's from American Idol.
Okay.
You didn't know that?
I didn't know that.
Wow. See, now I feel like a real idiot. You guys are praising the Goo Goo Dolls, and I knew Philip Phillips was from American Idol. Yeah, he was from Philip Phillips was from American Idol.
Well, it was empty.
He won, right? That
did
season?
He win? See, I should know
I think
that.
Philip Phillips won.
I should know that.
Because he's like a Dave Matthews dude.
Yeah, he was definitely, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, like clearly yep. inspired. In fact, when he would do some songs on American Idol, he would cover Dave a lot.
Okay.
And like obscure deep cuts by Dave. Oh. And the judges would be like, what the hell was that?
What are we hearing?
Yeah. So, yeah, he did. He won the 11th season.
Well, so I look over during Philip Phillips, yeah. and the whole front is like empty. The VIPs were meeting the Goo Goo Dolls at this point, is what I found out later, which is why the whole front was empty. But I look over, and Rowdy Roddy Piper was about 15 seats to my right. I'm like, so he ponied up for the fourth row, which I thought was great.
Was he a Philip Phillips fan?
Maybe he was.
Yeah.
I don't know.
He probably watched American Idol.
I'm not convinced he knew where he was, but I would like to
I did see that picture. It's very funny.
It was the spinning of it. And the hot rod shirt was the best part.
It was, seriously. I mean, I looked at it, and I was – and he was – wasn't he wearing, like, a leather jacket, too?
There was no leather – the leather
jacket.
Oh,
I thought he had
nice.
The leather jacket, too.
Well, he had the hair, too. He had the 80s mullet going on. It was really –
it was great.
Something.
All right. Well, that makes sense.
There you go. Goo Goo Dolls.
So Goo Goo Dolls were good. All right. All right. Hang on. You saw some other stuff, too. You saw Roger Waters. You saw Paul McCartney.
It's been a busy summer.
It's been a busy summer, and we will preview Lollapalooza. That's all coming up right after we take this break for the news on 720 WGM. Jim Ryan is with us, and we'll have more after this. Yeah, man, I was walking through a grocery store, and I heard this, and I smiled, man. Like, shut up, dude. It's Nick DiGilio. How you doing? We're back. Jim Ryan is with us, traffic reporter here at WGN. You also, dude, you're up in the helicopter.
Sometimes
you go up there in the helicopter.
Yeah.
Channel 5, cool.
Yep.
You also can read him in the Daily Herald and at ChicagoNow.com with his blog, and you can follow him at Radio Jim Ryan. Jim covers a lot of the music scene for us here on the show. We always love to have him on. Big weekend, Lollapalooza weekend. And you're going to be busy.
It will be busy.
We'll get to that in a second. But we're recapturing the 90s here.
I love that he had that queued up.
Of course,
right to the
hook, he's the best.
Way.
He's the best producer in the business.
That
man.
Album rules. By the way.
I like that album. I like the one before it too. Superstar Car Wash.
Yeah, that's what it's called.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
I'm looking like too big of a Goo Goo Dolls fan. I feel
well,
like
no, I, you okay. know, apparently I work with big Goo Goo Dolls fans and Third Eye Blind fans.
Yeah,
by the way, because Esmeralda loves Third Eye Blind and Dan likes Third Eye Blind and. So I'm in the minority. I guess I was just in the 90s. I was just too busy listening to Buffalo Tom. It was like the only band I listened to, I guess. All right. So the 90s had a nice little run there. Mm-hmm. And then 311.
311. I didn't go to the show, but I interviewed the bass player Peanut.
Yes.
And he's a huge basketball fan. He told a great story about being on stage with Duran Duran at United Center, and I'm like, why was 311 on stage with Duran Duran? And it turned out they were performing. It was one of the old radio station concerts where they had quite the smorgasbord of acts, because also on that bill with 311 and Duran Duran was Chumbawamba. Could you even imagine?
They played one song and left?
And left, I would hope.
That was to get a vodka drink and a whiskey drink?
Yeah, a whiskey drink.
Yeah. Chumbawamba.
But he told this great story. He's a Lakers fan. And he said they were the Bulls kicked them down the authentic warm-ups. And he said he was very torn at that point because I was still in the 90s when the Bulls were tearing it up. He said it made him think twice about his hatred of the Bulls.
Oh, boy. Yeah. All right. Well, there you go. There's Peanut from 311. I see you saw Material reissue at Wire.
I love
Material
reissue.
With our friend Phil Agnotti.
Yes.
And Phil's been on the show. I've known Phil for 35 years.
Okay.
And he's been on the show many, many times. How was that?
It's terrific.
Yeah.
I mean, Mike and Ted are such a, to me, they're such a great rhythm section.
Yeah.
And Phil does a wonderful job filling in on guitar and vocals for Jim Ellison.
Yeah.
It's nice to see them doing shows and seeming to enjoy it because that
such
had to
a
be
sad
hard,
story.
Yeah, that was
man.
A sad ending to that story.
Terrible, just terrible.
Yeah, so it's nice to see them kind of on a little bit of a victory.
And Phil's a great guy, and he's incredibly talented.
From some of my work over the years doing Beatles stuff, I've kind of crossed paths with Phil, and he does a lot of that. And
yes, he does.
Extremely talented guy.
Yes, he is. All right, so Beatles. Speaking of Beatles, we may as well segue to Paul McCartney at Tinley. Probably played two nights there,
right?
Yeah. And I would imagine it was just jam-packed.
He's jam-packed. He's never played there, as far as I know.
I don't know. I mean, Soldier Field is where he usually plays.
Soldier Field or Wrigley Field. Yeah. He seems to be kind of at this point where he makes a concerted effort to play places he hasn't played, whether that's markets or venues. The last couple times I've seen him, I saw him in Louisville at the KFC Yum Center, which I'm sure he was thrilled to be.
That's the name of it?
Yes.
The KFC Yum Center.
I'm sure noted vegan Paul McCartney was thrilled to be performing at the House Fried Chicken Bills.
Right. Right. Well, at least he's not like Morrissey and they can't serve
anything like that. Exactly.
You know, like Morrissey, no, I don't want meat cooked anywhere in the vicinity. Remember that? Was that Lollapalooza last year?
It was Riot Fest last year, yeah.
It was Riot Fest, right.
He made them suspend meat sales at some point in the day before he took the stage.
Ridiculous.
And then he took the stage half hour late.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, that was the fact that he was there was shocking.
That was the miracle.
That was the miracle, was that he actually showed up.
Yes.
So Paul McCartney, here's what I heard. Now, first of all, I've seen Paul McCartney twice.
Okay.
And how
recently?
Long time ago.
Okay.
The last time I saw McCartney was The Flowers in the Dirt. So we're talking like 91, 90. Okay. So a really long time ago.
Sure.
But it was phenomenal. It was absolutely great. But the thing is, you know, some of my friends who went said that his voice is pretty shot.
His voice was, the second night was better than the first night.
Mm-hmm.
I almost wondered if he was sick or something was going on, because it wasn't just the voice the first night. He just seemed, at the midway through that first night, it was like, because I've seen it, that was the sixth and seventh time I've seen him.
Yeah.
But going back to like 2010, and every time I go, it's like a year later or 2 years later, and you keep waiting. I mean, 75.
Yeah.
You keep waiting for that moment where you go, oh man, it's starting to go downhill. And I was afraid that first night, that's what it was.
Mm-hmm.
But he was so much better the second night that I was like, okay, the first night was an anomaly.
He was tired,
so I think there was
something
going on. But the voice. Yeah. The voice was better the second night, but it wasn't. It was not great.
Yeah, but the thing is, he's Paul McCartney. That's it.
Still did the 3-hour show.
Yeah.
He sweats like crazy throughout the entire show. You never see him get up to take a drink. He never leaves the stage.
Yeah.
The encore is about 30 seconds, and he's back out there. It is literally the 3-hour rock show, and you don't see those anymore.
No, you don't. And he's got an amazing band. He's been with these guys for a long time. These guys have been his band, 15 years easy?
And I think I've heard him say, because they're all half his age, that the fact that they play at such a high level forces him to, you know, I mean, he can't slouch.
Yeah.
And I think I've heard him say he prefers that because it forces him to play at a higher level.
I took a look at was the set list different between the nights?
It was he subbed out three songs of the second night. Second night he worked in Jet. Late he worked in Get Back. He did Get Back at the end.
Okay.
So there were three that he subbed in the second night.
Okay. But, I mean, you look at that set list. I was looking at the set list. I'm like, my God.
It's unparalleled. I mean, you know every single song.
Every song.
Beatles or Wings. It doesn't matter. You know every song. It's incredible.
He's 75 years old.
Yeah.
But like you said, he's out there for 3 hours. Yep. His voice might not be what it used to be, but he's Paul McCartney.
At 75, I mean, how do you even expect the voice to be perfect?
Yeah.
I think it's still pretty good.
Yeah, it's Paul McCartney, though.
It's still worth the money.
Okay, speaking of money, look at that. You see how I'm segueing here? Roger Waters. You see that?
I see what you did there.
Thank you very much. Roger Waters at United Center. Now, I have not seen Roger Waters in many, many years.
Okay.
The last time I saw Roger Waters, I saw Floyd in the heyday.
Okay, so you actually saw Floyd.
I saw at Animals at Soldier Field.
Nice.
On this Animals tour with the giant pig floating overhead and everything. But the last time I saw Roger Waters was at Poplar Creek for Hitchhiker's Get Hitchhiker album.
Okay,
I'm sorry. I saw him on that tour. I'm sorry. Now I'm getting them mixed up. I saw the Hitchhiker, whatever the hell the Hitchhiker album, The Secret Life of Hitchhikers or whatever it is, The Secret Value of Hitchhikers, which is a great record.
Yes.
I saw him on that. And that was at Rosemont Horizon.
Okay.
So, we're Allstate Arena now. And it was a big, crazy stage show like you get when you see Roger
Waters.
That's
what he does, yeah.
And then it's the pros and cons of hitchhiking. Thank you, Dan. That's the name of the album. Then I saw him a couple of years later on Radio Chaos.
Okay.
And that was at Poplar. And again, giant, crazy show. That's the thing he does. Now, I've seen some of the footage of this.
It's something else.
Yeah.
So, he divides the show into two sets, and he... The first one is very non-political. The second one is almost entirely non-stop political.
And it's very anti-Trump from what I've read.
Very anti-Trump. So he separates it. The first set is He rolls out the hits pretty much. He closes out the first set with Wish You Were Here and Another Brick in the Wall. And there's no political stuff until the very end, right as he's starting to take the intermission. He's got kids up on stage with him for Another Brick in the Wall, and they're all wearing T-shirts that say Resist. And then he starts flashing the giant Resist on the screen, which is kind of telling you what's coming. Set two.
Then you take an intermission?
Yeah, and if you're going to be – it's almost like he's telling you, if you're going to be offended by that, what's up there right now – leave now.
Yeah.
It's intermission. Just go.
And the stage was massive, right?
The stage screens was massive. And then the screens are really interesting. Did you see at all what U2 did during the Songs of Innocence tour at United Center, where they had the vertical, it was like perpendicular almost to the stage, the screen?
Yes.
He kind of took that idea and just screens would descend from the ceiling perpendicular to the stage. And I think the idea was pretty much to divide the crowd, just like what you're seeing in the world right now. There's a lot of division between people.
Yeah.
So he would run the images that were on the screen behind him on those screens that were running over the crowd kind of as an act of division. And yes, it was wholly anti-Trump.
Yeah.
I've never seen a political display at a concert quite like his anti-Trump display.
Yeah, I mean, it's made news. You know, every
it was unbelievable.
Well, I mean, any article that's been written about this tour, immediately they talk about how incredibly anti-Trump it is.
I mean, the images on the screen... when the pig goes up, it's got a picture of Trump on it with the word greed.
Mm-hmm.
Trump is a pig is written on the screen behind him the entire almost the entire time as images flash of him. It was
wasn't subtle.
It was very unsubtle.
And what songs was he playing? What he play? Does he have new stuff?
He's got a new album out. Yeah, it's his first album in a while. He did. There was a segment toward the second part of the set where he did three in a row from that. But for the most part, it was Dark Side of the Moon.
Really?
A lot off Dark Side of the Moon, yeah.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. He didn't play a lot off the wall?
There was some off the wall, but
now,
the last...
Were you there the night Eddie Vedder came out?
I was not, no.
Because Eddie Vedder came out and sang Comfortably Numb.
He came, I think, out the second night. I was there the third night.
Okay.
But his last tour through the U.S. was The Wall. That's what he did at Wrigley.
Oh, right.
So this one, Us and Them, which is a song off
from
Dark Side.
Side. Yeah.
That's the name of the tour is Us and Them. And again, that plays into the whole division.
And it's... I mean, it's a spectacle. You know? I mean,
unbelievable.
Yeah. And so was it? I mean, did you enjoy it?
I very much so. Yeah. That's. I mean, it's if you're, it's gonna offend people. I mean, that's for sure. People were getting up and leaving, which you don't see much at a Roger Waters show.
Yeah.
But, you know, if you can separate that and just kind of enjoy the spectacle and the imagery and the technology of the screens. I mean, it was. He always raises the bar in that department. It was it was really cool.
Yeah. Okay, cool. All right, well, that was Roger Waters. He played how many nights? He played
three nights
at the United Center.
Yep. Three sold out nights. Actually, there were some seats left the third night.
What was some face value? I mean, I saw a ticket. Somebody face value had a $250 ticket.
They were, and I think that was on the cheaper end.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, how much money did he make in those three nights?
Those three nights, a ton.
It's a lot of money, man.
And he's got a huge band behind him. Was G.E. Smith in his band when you saw him? Back in the day.
No.
He was there at Wrigley, but I don't think he was there at United Center.
No, he wasn't in the band. I mean, Chaos was in the 80s. So, you know.
He was doing SNL.
Late 80s, early 90s, maybe.
Okay.
Chaos? Something like that.
I believe so.
Yeah. So, all right. Well, there you go. And now when we come back, we'll take a break. When we come back, you got a big weekend.
Yes.
And we're going to go through it and talk about Lollapalooza and give you guys a preview of what's happening this weekend all over Grant Park. All right. Jim Ryan is with us. You can follow him on Twitter at Radio Jim Ryan and read his Chicago at Night blog on Chicago Now and read him on the Daily Herald as well. We'll come back previewing Lollapalooza right after this on 720 WGN. Welcome back, everybody. Chance the Rapper. Big homecoming for him this weekend at Lollapalooza. It's Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate Studios, 7th floor of the Trib Tower. Triple Play Thursday, one artist, three songs. Get your requests in now, 312-981-7200. We are going to talk about the beloved Taco Bell in Wrigleyville is closing. Jim, I don't know if...
I actually have a story about that.
I don't know if you know it's beloved.
I was injured in that parking lot.
Oh, how?
In a taxi cab.
An accident?
Yes. Would you like the story?
Go ahead. All right. We're going to talk about the Taco Bell and it closing and other places that have closed in the past that we missed.
Yeah, there's been a lot lately over there, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, that whole area is, you know...
Leaving a friend's birthday party, leaving a bar, and thought we were making the smart adult decision to take a cab.
Yeah.
Ask the cabbie to run us through the drive-through
of
the Taco Bell.
Of course you did.
Wrigleyville.
It was one of those kind of nights, Jim.
It was about 3 a.m.
All right.
So
can't say I've ever done that.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
So he obliges, and as you go to pull in off, what is it, off Addison?
Addison, yeah.
There's a semi in the parking lot because it's 3 o'clock in the morning unloading product. And this cabbie,
into the back of the Taco Bell.
Correct,
yeah.
Which is obscuring the entrance to the drive-thru from Addison. So the cabbie gets very upset and aggressively enters the parking lot and goes to try to shoot around this semi to get into the drive-thru lane. What you couldn't see on the other side of the semi was a light pole. And we crashed head-on into the light pole in the parking lot of the Taco Bell at 3 in the morning.
Wow.
I was on the passenger side in the back seat.
Mm-hmm.
So when I go flying forward with no seatbelt on, of course,
yeah.
My face smashes right into that thing that sticks out that theoretically...
Where you put you're supposed to put the money
which
in?
Nobody uses.
Oh, God.
Straight nose first into that.
Oh, man.
Shattered my nasal bone, deviated septum. Had to have surgery, two surgeries on that.
Wow, so you're happy to see the Taco Bell go.
I posted on my buddy's Facebook page. I'm like, we have closure.
That's terrible. Did you like sue the taxi cab company?
I was supposed to be on CLTV the next morning, too, and had to not do that shift.
So
to answer your question, yes. So I got into work the next day, and everyone's like, well, you have to sue. I'm like,
yeah.
I'm like, I don't have to sue. It's going to be fine. And they're like,
no.
And sure enough, the ambulance bills start really, like,
oh,
like,
yeah.
Oh, my God, I do have to sue.
Yes, you
so,
do.
Yes, I had to sue. In the first, I'll never forget, the first question that the lawyer asked me when I walked in, he goes, what company was it? And I go, it was Checker.
Yeah.
I don't even know if I should say that. I go, it was Checker. And he goes, okay. He goes, then we're all right. And I go, what does that mean? He goes, well, there's so many of these fly-by-night companies.
Yeah, that's right.
You'd see nothing. He goes, but we can work with this.
There you go.
There you go. Right.
So you had Jackie Childs was your lawyer? all right.
Yes.
Well, Lollapalooza.
Yeah.
This weekend. Tell us about it. Thursday. What are we looking at Thursday?
I'm very excited about Lollapalooza starting here. Muse and Lord, Lil Uzi Vert and Porter Robinson. Those are your Thursday headliners.
Mm.
Elsewhere throughout the day, Spoon, Wiz Khalifa and Cage the Elephant.
All right.
So that's Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
Not bad. I'm excited to see Lord.
Yeah.
To me,
I think she's great.
She headlined it. Well, she didn't headline, but she was there in 2014 and to me stole the show.
Yeah.
She's back now trying to avoid the sophomore slump, brand new album.
Yeah.
I think it should be pretty good.
Yeah, I think she's great.
Yeah.
Yeah, I do. Okay, so Friday?
Friday, pardon me, The Killers, Blink 182, Crystal Castles, and DJ Snake.
DJ Snake. That's right, DJ Snake.
The man, the myth, the legend.
Yeah. Now, how many stages are there?
8 stages, 170 artists throughout the weekend.
That's insane.
Yes.
How do you, now?
I say it every year, and it's true every year. It's bigger than ever.
How do you personally, do you just want to stay in one place and see as much in one stage, or do you travel around?
I travel around, which gets to be, if you're going from the main stage on the south end to the main stage on the north end, you are walking from Congress to Randolph, I think.
Yeah,
you're just south of Millennium Park, so
pretty much
Congress to Randolph.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a hike to be
that
doing.
That is a hike
all day for 4 days,
and especially luckily the temperatures are supposed to be pretty mild this weekend.
And of course, it's supposed to rain.
But it's going to rain. It's supposed to rain today. Yeah,
and Sunday. So we'll bookend it with rain.
Yeah.
It's becoming an annual thing.
Yeah, no, it's rain. Remember when they had to
evacuate?
That was the day of Dan's. Dan was the day of you and Eileen's
wedding. Yeah.
Because I was here,
yep.
And I thought the world was ending.
I've been evacuated from Lollapalooza so many times now. It's like, I think it's going to completely, I'm just going to watch the weather tomorrow because it's going to, I'm so over it.
Yeah.
It's going to, I want to get there early, but at the same time, I don't want to get evacuated in the middle of the day.
I understand.
So we'll
okay.
See.
So Saturday.
Saturday is, to me, so Friday to me is the best day of the week, by the way, because aside from your headliners, you've also got Run the Jewels, Foster the People, Ryan Adams, Tegan and Sarah, and Fantagram. That's pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
But Saturday, your headliner is Chance the Rapper.
That's going to be the biggest.
Big homecoming there.
Yep.
The XX, Mac DeMarco, and Cascade.
Okay. And what are some of the other acts that you're looking forward to on Saturday?
On Saturday, we've also got, to me, Saturday is a really weak day, but the Head and the Heart will be there. All J will be there. And then no, they're not there for Saturday. Never mind. But I think there's a band on at noon I want to see. From Boston called Lady Pills, an all-female alternative band with a lot of melody. They're all Berkeley grads.
Okay.
So if I can get there that early.
By noon.
Yeah, they're literally the first band on. So.
And then Sunday, what's...
Sunday we have Arcade Fire, Justice, and Zed's Dead.
Mm-hmm.
Those are your headliners for Sunday. Elsewhere throughout the day, Group Love, Big Sean, The Shins, and Little Yachty.
Okay. And what are you looking forward to on Sunday?
Sunday, I think Arcade Fire.
Yeah.
It's, there'll
be 63 people on stage.
They are kind of that band that's, they're almost better to me. See, I'm going to see their after show Saturday night at Metro.
Okay.
And I will be seeing them Sunday night at the festival. And I almost have this feeling that they're going to be better in front of the huge crowd than they are at Metro.
They seem to be that kind of band.
They're that band that can, they almost kind of channel Talking Heads a little bit.
Okay.
Just in terms of the sound that they're going after. And it'll be interesting to see both. But
okay.
I think they're, to me, it's either going to be them or Lord.
Okay.
Or Chance the Rapper. That,
cool.
That kind
and
of
Chance the Rapper is going to be a big
yeah.
one. Okay. Real quick before you get out of here,
yes.
You just came from Liam Gallagher's party
yes.
at the Park West. And you said to me off the air that he seemed a little angry by the end.
So it started out fantastic. He opened with Rock and Roll Star in What's the Story, Morning Glory.
Mm.
And his new single, Wall of Glass, which I really like.
Yeah.
Kind of dipped a little bit after that. It was a lot of new songs off his solo album, which doesn't even come out until October, so people are hearing it for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think he was thrilled with the crowd reaction by the end, because every set list for everything he's done so far on this American tour has ended with Wonderwall.
Mm-hmm.
And people were posting pictures of the set list tonight on Twitter and Instagram, and Wonderwall was on that set list.
And he didn't...
He finished the last song of the set, walked off, and then it was almost like he didn't like the reaction because people were expecting the encore.
Yeah.
And it was almost like tell me you can't picture him sitting there at the side of the stage like, really? This is it?
Oh, absolutely.
This is the best? This is all you've got?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Forget it. And all of a sudden the lights pop on.
Oh, man.
And then all of a sudden a Beatles song kicks on and people are still sitting there. Confused, my buddy and I are looking at each other like, he's not coming back. And people are kind of looking at each other. They still don't know to start clapping and going crazy, and maybe he'll come back out. They're just looking at each other. And all of a sudden, the volume comes down on that Beatles song, and then people start to whip and holler, and they kick on the rest of the house lights.
Oh, man. That's unbelievable.
Uh-huh.
That's unbelievable.
So it was almost like he was sitting there just going,
I'm going to play with him a little bit.
Let's see.
That's funny. That's funny. All right. So you got a bunch of stuff up on the on your blog.
I do.
Chicago at Night blog, chicagonow.com.
Yes.
And in the Daily Herald, you can read the interview with Ed Kowalczyk.
Yes.
And you'll be covering Lollapalooza.
I will be there all weekend.
All right, cool.
I'll be up at Chicago Now.
All right, Jim. And when do you do traffic? Tell everybody when you do traffic here.
Noon to 3,
right here on WGN.
With Steve and with John Williams.
Very cool. All right, man. Thanks a lot. Have a great weekend.
Thank you for having me.
We'll have you back. All right, Jim Ryan, everybody. And you can follow him again on Twitter @RadioJimRyan. We'll be right back with the news on 720 WGN.